So we're starting the a new sigah, Pei Dalet Beis and Baba Kama, the sigah of Tsar Shelo B'Makom Nezek, which ends up becoming intertwined with the sigah of Tsar B'Makom Nezek. Okay. We'll start with the Mishnah said that you pay Tsar alone, okay, when you have, if you burn somebody on their fingernails or something. And there's just Tsar, but there's no Nezek. So then the Mishnah says you're chayef to pay. So the Gemara wants to know who's the Tana who holds that. So it comes out, it's a machlokus between Rebbe and Ben Azai of whether you're chayef Tsar shalav makom Nezek. Just Tsar alone without Nezek, are you chayef or not? Okay. And the way the Gemara presents it is basically there's a pasuk, right? The pasuk says it's an extra pasuk. Right, because you don't even need it because you have kashitin amumba bamiso adam kin yasin bo. I forgot which pasuk it is, something like that. So you don't really need this pasuk, but it says kviya tachas kviya patzah tachas patzah and chabura tachas chabura. So the machlokes is how do you understand this pasuk? If I just had kviya alone, kviya tachas kviya, which is a burn, what would I have understood? So do you learn that it's it would be teaching me tsar alone, that it'd be chayev for just a burn, and even though there's no chabura whatsoever, then why does the Torah tell me at the end of the pasuk chabura tachas chabura? It must be teaching me that I also that I'm only chayev tsar if there's also a chabura, because Rashi says if you had taught me tsar alone, Kolshken I would have known tsar with a chabura. And now the fact that he told me chabura, again, it's redundant, it's extra. So it teaches me, no, you're only chayev tsar if it comes along with the chabura, when it's also nezek. Okay? And Rashi said there, the lekachot zur chabura lilmod, lamed she'in chayev klum ad she'ye chabura ima. The kivan de mishalim ripoy mishim chabura mishalim nami tsar. So once you're going to pay the ripoy, or the chabura, which I guess is some form of the nezek, you're also going to pay for the tsar, and that's one position. And the other position says, no, if I just had kviya alone, I would have said kviya means dafka with the chabura, right? And only when you have a chabura, not just tsar alone. Why is the Gemara, why is the Torah telling me chabura, tachas chabura? So it's teaching me that tsar with the chabura you pay, and must be the beginning of the pasuk. It tells me something at the beginning of the pasuk, it meant tsar alone. So the extra chabura tells me to return back to the beginning of the pasuk of kviya tachas kviya and say now lamaskana it means tsar alone, right? That was the maskana. So basically, what comes out is wherever you start off, however you would have initially learned kviya tachas kviya, whether it would have meant tsar alone or tsar with a chabura, right? Tsar shalav makom nezek or tsar with nezek. So whatever you would have initially said, the end of the pasuk chabura tachas chabura tells you to change it to go to the opposite. Right, so it comes as a funny machlokas. Basically, is whatever they're arguing. The maskana is basically based upon the opposite. What would have I initially said? Because the Torah reverses what you initially said. Right, that's the that comes out the maskana. There's basically machlokas of just whether you pay tsar lo. That comes like the maskana, the machlokas tanayim. Okay, and our mission is going like one of the tanayim. So far, so good. Okay, I'll just mention a point we had quickly, the Macholiz and Machlokas Amorayim, of how do you interpret that brisa, because what they said was, Kviya Nemer Betchila, or it's what Rabbi said, and Ben Azai said, Chabura Nemer Betchila. That's the question, is how do you interpret it? Do you say that means that there are, that's reflecting their initial positions of how you would have learned Kviya initially, means mean Tsar alone or with Chabura, before the Torah flips it to the opposite? Or do you say that it's referring to their positions in the maskana? In the end, once the Torah flips it, now when I go back and relearn the pasuk, I say, does it mean tsar alone or does it mean tsar with chabura? Which is it referring to their initial positions of how they were learned kviya before chabura, or is it referring to their final positions of how I relearn kviya after chabura? That's machlokas, right? The nafkamina is basically what does Rebbe hold, what does Ben Azai hold? Who holds what? That's the only nafkamina, right? Is our mission like Rebbe or like Ben Azai, but doesn't really have any other nafkamina. And the argument for why you want to do that, besides you want the mission to be like Rebbe, is Rav Papa said you should definitely learn it as maskana, is because you want their statements in the Braisa to reflect their final positions. Rav maskana kaimi, right? And Rashi says, maskana kaimi hai denemra de ka'amri asofa drasha de ikara shiyom medes v'kaim. So the end of the drasha and the ikar, which is what stands and lasts. I mean, there's a drasha. So whenever you have a drasha, you start off with limudim, but then you end up in a final halachic position, the maskana. So Rav Papa's argument is that you want the way that the Braisa formulates the two positions of Rebbe and Ben Azai, it should reflect their final positions. Because that's the essence of what we care about, is what the two halachic systems, the two versions of the maskana, that's how you paskin based on, that's the din, that's halacha. That's what really matters, is this machlokas, do you say tsar shalob makam nezek, right, just tsar alone, are you chayav or your pater? And that's what we really care about, and that's really what we have to define in the sugya. That's the ikar. The maskana is always the ikar. The argument for the other way, for Rava, was that why you'd formulate based on their initials positions is because that's what's goring the machlokas, right? The cause of the machlokas is their initial positions of how would you have learned kviya tachas kviya if it was alone, right? So it's an important methodology point also, besides for nice machlokas here, is there's two things. When you have a machlokas that's based upon limudim, how you learn something, so the initial positions, how you learn the limud, that's what causes the ultimate machlokas in the end. But the ikar of what you want to define is the maskana. So like, for example, in this year, we're going to focus much more on the final positions and how to understand the two systems of tsar shalab makam nezek, whether you're chayav or pater. But just because, like, at the end of the day, where you have two different systems and you can define the two different systems, and that's the ikar in a certain sense, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what causes the machlokas. What causes the machlokas between the Ben Azai and Rebbe, it's not because one sees one system is better, one sees the other system is better. In fact, that's not true. It's either one could have perfectly well conceived of the other one's position. And in fact, they did initially. Rather, the cause of machlokas is based upon how you learned the pesukim. How would you have read the kviya tachas kviya? How would you have read that? Maybe we'll come back to how we define the machlokas, but that's half. I just had kviya tachas kviya. How would I have read it? Okay. So then now, okay, fine. So, but again, at the end of the day, that's machlokas. Is the machlokas expressing what causes them to argue, or is the machlokas formulated in terms of lamaskana, what's their two different positions? But at the end of the day, you have this machlokas. Do you say tzar shalob makam nezek? Now, there's this Gemara on, Tosis tells you over here to reference you to Gemara Chavav Amabez, right? And the Gemara there basically has a limud. It wants to know what does Petzatachas Pasa teach you. So basically says it teaches you two things. One is it teaches you Adam Ulolam. A person is chayav if they damage for Nezek, Bein Shogeg, Bein Ones, Bein Ratzon, Bein Mezid, right? All these different things. But you're only chayav for Nezek. The Arba Dvarim, the other four things, you're patern. Why are you patern them? The Shogeg, right? It's a Yiposheves, Sar and Boshes, why you pater b'shogig and b'ones? Adam u'l'olam doesn't apply to that. So he said because Adam u'l'olam, it's a lach in the niske Adam, but you have his chayvas, you have to be Adam shmir's gufal, you have to be shomer your body, but it's not going to transform when you accidentally hit somebody and you're mazik them. It's not going to make it into chavala. Chavala is bein adam chavero. And it's got to be intentional. For it to be a bein adam chavero, that you're really harming somebody, it's got to be that you intentionally did, or you're a poshea or something like that. But if it's a total accident, then it simply becomes a monetary phenomenon. You're mazik them, you're responsible to be shomer your body. But even ba'ones, in b'shogig, right? But you're not going to have bein adam chavero interaction of chovel b'chavero, unless there's mezid or karov mezid. So that's one thing you learn from Patzachas Patz. The Gemara says, but there's something else you learn. You have to learn that you're chayav tsar b'makom nezek. Okay, this is a different limud. Is that when you have nezek and you have tsar, that you pay also pay tsar. You pay both. Is it Patzachas Patz, extra pasuk? Okay. Now the top Tosfos asks, is what's going on here? Do I need a limud to teach me From this Gemara, it's mashma. The Gemara Chavav, it's mashma. You need a limud to teach me tsar b'makom nezek. That when I have nezek, I also pay tsar. It seems like that's the bigger chiddush. I need a limud for that. But tsar shalob b'makom nezek, that would be what I would assume. That just tsar alone, of course I'd pay. Now, how do I know I pay tsar and nezek together? Oh, I need a limud. But the Gemara on pay dalet from in a chovel is mashma the opposite. That tsar b'makom nezek, of course, and the chiddush is tsar shalob b'makom nezek. That I pay just tsar alone. And in fact, that's a machlokas tanayim. It's not even obvious to the maskana that you do pay that. One tana holds that you don't. So what is the bigger chiddush? Tsar b'makom nezek or tsar shalob b'makom nezek? Right, tsar alone or tsar with nezek? What's the bigger chiddush? Okay, so that's the Tosfos. So he answers, basically he answers there's three cases. Okay, the most obvious case is when you just have tsar alone, no nezek, no pichas damim. You know the nezek in terms of you don't diminish the value of the, you're not diminishing the value of the person. His value doesn't go down, so there's no tashlumin of nezek, but there is a roshim, there is a mark. You burnt the person, but there is a mark on his skin. That's the most obvious case, which everybody would agree to. Rebbe and Ben Azai, everybody would agree to that. That's if the Torah just told me tsar, then I would know that, that when there's a roshim, that you definitely have to pay tsar. Then on that, you have two chidushim, okay? One is the machlokas and achovel. Is let's say I have tsar, but there's no roshim at all. You burn the person on their fingernails, okay? Where there's no mark left at all. It's just pain, pure tsar. Then you machlokas whether you're chai for that at all, okay? And the other chiddush where there's no machlokas, but you need a pasuk to teach you a petzah tachas patzah, is the case of tsar b'makom nezek. When you're poches adam, you cut off his arm, and his value goes down, but there's also tsar that you have to pay both, the nezek plus the tsar. That you learn from Petzah Tachas Patzah. That's also chiddush. So there's two chiddushim. One, everybody agrees to, but you need gzeiras hakasav. That's tsar b'makom nezek, when the value goes down. And the other chiddush is tsar shalo b'makom nezek, when it's just, when there's no roshim. When there's tsar, when there's just tsar alone, no nezek, and there's not even a mark, then you have machlokas tanaim about that, which we have to define. But the case that everybody agrees to is when there's tsar and there's no roshim, when there's just tsar, no nezek, but there's a roshim. That kuliam l'pligi, that's pasuk. You don't even need a pasuk for that. You just need the regular pasuk for the fact that you're chayav and tsar, which I saw the Rambam learns from Tachas Hasha'ina. Tachas Hasha'ina. It's an Amor?
I think so.
Okay, I think it's from Ones, he learns it from, by Ones. So I'm not sure if that's like, if that would work with the Tosos. But you just need the regular limud of tsar. If I just had tsar alone, I would know that you paid tsar alone when there's no nezek, when there's a roshim, right? So we have to understand these three categories in Tosos, why each one is, what's the question about each one, why it's so pasha, the case of the roshim. Okay. Okay. So the question is how to begin to analyze the Tosos, right? So in theory, you want to understand, like Joe's saying, is that why is this case so pasha? Why is the case of just tsar alone with a roshim so pasha? And the way you do that is by contrasting that to the other two cases and seeing how is it different from the other two cases. What's their chiddush that makes it, and this one doesn't have that. So the chiddush is one, it does, this one has a roshim, as opposed to the case where it's tsar shel makom nezek of the machlokes benazir rebbe, which doesn't have a roshim. And also, the chiddush is that it doesn't have the nezek, right? It doesn't come with the nezek. So somehow nezek, in theory, would make, when there is a payment of nezek, of pichas damim, his value goes down, that would make me think I don't pay the tsar. Okay, that's one like half of me, you know? The other half of me attached to it is the idea that, not half of me as much as, somehow there's a benefit that there's a roshim. Okay, so let's begin with that second side, because it kind of jumps out at you. What is, like, who cares about the roshim? Why should it matter? If the question is, if the roshim doesn't make his value go down, so what do I care whether you do, it's either way, it's tsar shel makom nezek, right? Tosfos openly calls it that. There's tsar shel makom nezek, that's pashut, and there's tsar shel makom nezek, that's a big chiddush, and a machlokas tanaim. So who, and the difference is whether there's a roshim or not. But either way, there's no nezek. It's just tzar alone. So whether it makes a mark or not, who cares? What's the difference? Okay. So let's begin. In this sugya, you have these two things. You have nezek and you have tzar. Right? And to some degree, the sugya is revolving around the relationship between these two things. Tzar shalom makom nezek, tzar makom nezek. Right? Now, we have chamisha dvarim. Right? Remember we had the gemara earlier said it's called an arba dvarim, it's a chamisha dvarim. Right? So it's like four things besides for nezek. Remember that gemara we saw in Pei Dalet Amud Aleph? Right? Okay. And also you have an on the cigarette over here, right? We don't have to go too far. We've already done enough cigars here. That you see that nezek has this different end, that even b'shogeg b'onetz, you pay nezek, right? But you don't pay tzar and boshes and sheves and ripoy, b'shogeg, right? So it's tzar b'makom nezek, are these two things equal exactly? You know, maybe tzar, boshes, sheves, and ripoy are in a certain sense equal, similar. Like the first part of the Tosas, I skipped it in the review here, but right, if the Torah tells you tzar b'makom nezek, and I learn out the other arba dvarim from tzar, right? Because it stands for the whole category. But you see, the arba dvarim are their own class of things. They're different from each other, but they're in the same class of each other. Nezek is different. Nezek is like, in a sense, the major thing, the essence, the right, nezek yirchai, whether it's b'shoge, whether b'ones, right? It's really one plus four in a certain sense, okay? That nezek is the main thing. You always pay nezek. You damage a guy's cow, you pay nezek. His cow damages your cow, he pays nezek. You do bump into him by accident, you pay nezek. Nezek is always there. It's like the basis of the whole thing, right? Tzar is the chiddush of Torah's mechadesh. Tzar, boshes, all the arba dvarim. Torah's mechadesh that when you have the bein adam l'chaver or a chavala, one person harms the other person and he's chovel him, right? Damages him, so then he pays. Besides for the nezek, which is the pichas and his damim. But the regular thing that if you're sure damaged him, you'd have to pay for nezek. But when Adam is damaged Adam, you pay arba dvarim in addition to nezek. Okay. I'm not really saying as far as here. I'm just saying that, like, you got to realize in terms of the sugya here that you're dealing with this relationship between nezek and tzar, right? And they're not necessarily identical, okay? Certainly that's going to come up a big factor when we deal with tzar and makom nezek and all that question. So now like this. On a simple level, when you have a Maisa Hezek and you damage somebody, okay? So Beones Bishogeg, you pay for the damage and his value. Okay. Let's say you cause him a bruise or whatever and his value doesn't go down. So how much nezek do you have to pay? You did a Beones. How much would it have to go down? How much would your value went down? Zero. So how much do you have to pay him for the nezek?
Zero.
Okay. Because it's the nezek. There's no nezek here. You did a maisa chavala. You banged into him. You harmed him. Made a bruise. Chabura. Whatever it is. But his value didn't go down. Right. His value didn't go down. Okay. But now let's say you did a bit of mazid, right? And his value doesn't go down. So again, how much nezek are you going to pay?
Zero
nezek, because value went down. But you caused him pain. So now you have to pay for the tzar. Okay? So he's saying, that's what I would have said. Is that when you do chavala, when you harm a guy, you attack him, you beat him, b'mezid, or karvel b'mezid, whatever it is. And even though, and the Torah's mechayev you, that you're going to have to pay for the tzar that you caused him. Right? But it has to be a mice of chavala. You got to be being chovel, making a wound, attacking him, doing something that damages him. Mechabel in his guf, right? It's a chavala. There's a mice of chavala going on here. Okay. Now, when you just do the electric shock on the guy, okay. So what's going on here? Is that a mice of hezek? Are you damaging him at all? Is there a mice of chavala to his guf? No, it's not. You don't say what's the nezek in that case. The nezek is zero. Okay, there's no nezek. There's no maisa nezek. There's no chavala. All you have is a maisa of tzar. You're torturing him. It's a torture. You're torturing the guy. You're bringing him through the electric chair. It's gonna be very painful for him. But it's a maisa of tzar. as opposed to when there's a mark, when there's a rishumo nicker, when you leave a mark on him, so then use a ma'isa of chavala. Now it's true his value might not go down because of that, but you did a ma'isa hezek to him. You did something which damages his body. That damage might not translate into monetary value because his values in Evan might not go down, but there is some sort of physical damage you did to his body. It just doesn't have a monetary amount. There's no piches in his domain. So then when I do a maisa of chavala to him, and I have tsar as a, comes along with that, so then that Torah tells me you pay for the tsar, pasha. Now there's a big chiddush now, and this is the machlokas tanayim, is do you say when you do a maisa of tsar to the guy, you're also going to be chayiv, right? Are you only chayiv for tsar when there's a maisa of chavala? And in theory, you could have five things. You could have nezek, tsar, boshes, boshes, and then I pay for them all, or whatever. I don't get into tsar, makom, nezek. We'll take the deal in a second. Okay, but when I do a maisa of chavala, Torah says you could be chayiv in five different possibilities, depending upon what you're chayiv. But you need the maisa hezek to begin with. There's got to be a hezek. You got to be damaging his body. That's one shita. That's, let's say, Ben Azai, right? According to Gemara's conclusion, right? Is that only when you actually have a maisa of chavala are you chayiv for the tsar that chavala costs. But then you need rishum nikar, you need to leave a mark. That's the chavala. That's your maisa of chavala. But Rebbe holds no, and our Mishnah holds no, is that even if you have a maisa of tsar, you don't do a maisa of chavala. It's exclusively a maisa of tsar. There's no damage to his body. It's purely tsar. You still pay for the tsar, even though you're lacking in the mice itself. There really was no mice hezek intrinsically. You still chai for a mice of tzar. This is the difference between the two positions. But that's the chiddush, the big chiddush here of what in Rishim Nikra according to us, is that the entire mice was a mice of tzar. It was a Torah mechadish, the idea of tzar. If it's purely tzar in every framework, all you did was torture the guy, you chai for the tzar. That's Rebbe, that's the Mishnah. Ultimately, that's the chiddush of it's what he holds. Once you're saying tzar, even if it's a pure maisa of tzar. But Ben Azai is holding, no, it's not true. Is that you're, when you have a chavala, then you could be chayiv for the tzar of the chavala. But not for a maisa of tzar, that's like a whole new parsha. The Torah is mechadesh arba dvarim that come from a maisa of chavala. But it's not creating a whole new idea of a maisa of tzar, that doesn't exist. It's taking the regular maisa hezek and saying when it's benyan the chavero b'mezid, karv l'mezid, you could be chayiv in these arba dvarim also. Yeah, but you need that basic maisa to be in that parsha of nezek. The Torah is not being introducing a whole new idea of like a new maisa of tzar. Yeah. The main idea is to look at it as in terms of the actions, right? When you're pure tzar, you're torturing the guy. It's a different type of a maisa. You have to chayiv, you torture a person. Physically torture him, you chayiv to pay for the torture, for the pain that you inflict on him through the torture. As opposed to where it's a mice of chavala, where you're damaging his body. Now, the pain is an accident in the sense of that when you damage a person's body, pain comes along for the ride. So it's not a mice of causing pain as much as a mice of chavala, of damaging his body. And then pain is an accident. There is mechayiv for the pain. So he's saying that's pasha. There is dealing with the parsha of chavala. That's what's going on here. You harm his body, you damage his body, and now the Torah is mechayiv for the pain of that. But the chiddush that the Mishnah holds is that even if it's a purely a mice of pain that you're chayav. But the big difference between the two cases of whether it's rishumo nikar or rishumo nikar is the mice changes. When it's purely pain, it becomes a mice of torture. But when it's when there's a mark on his body, then you're dealing with a mice of chavala. You're harming his body, and then pain comes along with it. But it's the mice is one of chavala. Okay. Yeah, okay, good. So Yaakov and Joe are asking a question, which is implicit in the Tosos here. He's saying this. He's saying is that why would you call that, why even call that, I think is what you're trying to say, is that why even calling that a Maisa Hezek, a Maisa of Chavala? If his value doesn't go down, what does the Rishumo Nika, what does the mark even do for you? Nezek means you diminish his value, and if you didn't diminish his value, then essentially it's a Maisa of Tsar. You're not asking
that? No, I mean, yes, but like, okay. I am recognizing that's definitely more. That's something closer to a maisa hezek than total tzar.
You're saying it's still not a maisa hezek.
Yeah, but like
because
I'm acknowledging that there are levels.
Right, but you're saying it's still not a maisa hezek because right. Doesn't his value doesn't go down? Why is that a maisa hezek?
Yeah. But I'm not saying it's completely the same as total tzar.
Oh well, the fine yeah. Goof. Right, you're right. Okay, good. Well, that's the chilah. You're right. It's a chiddush in Tosfos. is I might have said like you. I might have said like you is that like a Maisa Hezek, what does it mean to damage somebody? Maisa Hezek, where you decrease his value. And if you didn't decrease his value, there's not even a Maisa Hezek. Ah, you see a mark, but that's not Hezek, right? I could have seen that. Tosfos is not saying that. I hear the possibility, but and I can't. Maybe Rashi. We'll come to Rashi. We're going to start to. I think Rashi is a little more difficult than Sugya. Yeah. But you could be right. Yeah, you're right. It could be that's where I learned Rashi. But Tosfos is not saying that. He's saying that that when you cause a physical, you are physically damaging his body. It's just the monetary price on that is zero. So there's a. He's saying that you don't need. You don't need a monetary shear of a shavah pruta and him going down in order for the maisa to be chavala. There's an idea of you hit somebody, you damage his body. It's certainly damage. It's just you can't, when you convert it into money, something you have to, in a certain sense, I think I see why Tosfos makes sense. Yeah, like the idea of chavala is primarily one of, like we said, benam chaver, you hit somebody, you harmed them, you damaged them. And the fact that you're putting a monetary value on that, in a sense, is like a, it's a secondary system. It's really ayin tachas ayin. You know, you caused him a mark. Well, he'll cause you a mark. Do you know what I mean? Like it's the only problem is once you switch to that framework of tashlumin, then you're right. Then we have this idea that, well, hold on a second. How much does that translate into? And it could be when you translate the framework of tashlumin, since we value him as an evet and his value doesn't go down, it's going to be zero. But like the proper way to think about the mice of Chavala is really in terms of the mice. He damaged his body. He left a scar on him. He made a mark on him. It doesn't affect his value, but you know, make your adin, you know, ayin tachas ayin, you should put a scar for you. And that's certainly a damage, a defect on your body. Okay, it's not, you know, not the biggest defect, doesn't change your value, but it's still something, you know. In terms of the underlying mice, I'll define that as Chavala. You know what I mean? In terms of ayin tachas ayin framework. And that really is the mice of Chavala. And it just comes out, the price, when you switch to this framework of Teshlumin, comes out to be zero, right? But that's still a different Maisa than just pure Tzar. That's not even Chaval in a proper sense of damaging the body. It's just causing pain. But you're right, Tosfos is saying that. Let me see. You you learned this from the Tosfos. Tosfos is definitely saying here that it doesn't have a Nafkamina and Maskana, but that there would be a difference between where there's a Roshem and there's no Roshem, even though there's no monetary consequences, the napiches and the dhamma, right? And I think it's a very strong question. I think it's if chavala, if you were dealing with a purely monetary framework, institution, right? Like gonev money or you borrowed money, whatever it is, you're dealing with a purely monetary area, then if it's not shavah pruta, then the thing doesn't exist. You know what I mean? In a monetary framework, if you don't have money, then the framework is paka. It simply doesn't exist at all. And the reason why it's sensible for Tosfos to introduce this idea of when you hit him and there's a roshem, when there's no roshem, it's because the primary framework here is not really mamma. It's really primary is ayin tachas ayin, is that you're chovel on a guy, rakashitin mum ba'adam, kenya sembo. That's the primary framework. And tashlumin was the substitute framework, but like the maisa itself of chavala is really defined in terms of the bein adam chaver, you hit the other guy. That's what chavala really is, where you damaged him. And then in that framework, you could say that the chaval exists even if there's no money, right? Even if there's not a monetary consequence to it, right? And therefore, there's a difference between a maisa where there's a chaval and there's a roshem, and there's a maisa which is pure tzar. It's because chaval essentially is not really a monetary framework. The money comes in a secondary sense. Okay. So it's possible you can go a little further in the Ben Azai and the Rebbe Machlokas, but I think right now we should leave it like this. Okay, it's a little bit like the sense of whether you can, you know, whether you can go further or not is, I think it's a little dissatisfying. Of would you say? I mean, the question is, are Torah mechayev you and tsar when you have a ma'aseh chavala, or the Torah mechayev you and tsar if it's a ma'aseh tsar alone? Right? I feel like you can probably go a little further than that. But I think let's hold off. We'll come back to it if we can, if we could go any further. But I think let's try to understand the question of tzar b'makom nezek. Okay, I think that once we have that, maybe we can put it all together. We'll be able to define a little bit better. Maybe yes, maybe no. I'm not sure. Okay, so This is what we'll do tomorrow, okay? Basically, we have this machlokas, right? Sarva makom nezek. The facts are, Berkey, we're staying with Intelsos, okay? The question is when you cut off a guy's arm, okay, and you cause him pain. So if I just had, if I didn't have exer sakasa of patza tachas patza, what I would have said is you just pay the nezek. His value goes down because of the loss of the arm. And I, there was pain. Okay. There was pain. We pay for the nezek. Right. Then you would say that's sar b'makom nezek is pater. Right. But what would I say? I say Torah is only mechayev you and sar when there's no nezek, when the value doesn't go down. Okay, you need a roshem. You did some sort of chavala to him, right? You caused a mark on him, but his value doesn't go down. Then the Torah introduced tsar, right? That you have to pay for tsar. But if you actually, right, that's one possibility. Then you're saying tsar b'malkam nezek is pater. But the only time you're chayav for tsar is when there's no diminishment of his value. You need a roshem. But if his value goes down, then if the value goes down, like he cut off his arm, you're only going to pay for the nezek. You're not going to pay for the tzar. Right? That's what I would have said if I didn't have a limud. Okay? Just when there's a roshim that doesn't diminish his value. Pay for tzar, no nezek. If there's nezek, only pay for nezek, no tzar. Right? You never pay for both. Comes the gzir shakasa, petzat ha'chas patza, and teaches me when I cut off his arm, I have to pay for not only the loss of value of his arm, but also the pain that accompanied my maisa of chavala, right? Okay. So we'd like to define, as we'll do for tomorrow, is define the difference between what are those two different theories of right? Sar b'makom nezek, are you chayav for pata? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And this machlokes of sar b'makom nezek is independent of the machlokes between Benazai and Rebbe of sar shelo b'makom nezek when there's no roshim at all. That's a sar machlokas. The tsar shalom makom nezek, that's a machlokas between tanoim. But tsar b'makom nezek, that you are chayv l'maskana, that's gzeir sakasa, which everybody holds by. Machlokas is which, where do you learn it from? Do you learn it from patzadachas patza or rapo yirape? But everybody agrees that all arba dvarim you're chayv l'makom nezek. So it's a havamin in the Torah, in the sense that the Torah hadn't given you gzeir sakasa, you wouldn't have said it, but everybody agrees to it, irrespective of what you hold by the machlokas tanoim. Of Rabbi and Ben Azai, of Tzar Shalom Makom Nezek.